Ishiro-san.
Takahashi, how the hell are you? What are you wearing?
Oh, you like this? I picked this up when I was back in the old country. It's what they call a gi.
Oh, I thought you called it a GI.
No, no, that's common misconception with this there. So,
We are so Americanized.
Well, we did assimilate quite well. While I was visiting the old country, I happened to take notice that the kids there are they're starting to play the video games again.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that we could cash in on this. It's like this huge, gigantically enormous fighting game that the kids are all playing right now.
Pac-Man?
No, it's a fighting game where you get these two guys or maybe a girl and they fight each other and to the death, I guess.
I mean, in Pac-Man you fight ghosts. I'm just saying it's an idea.
Well, you know what? Let's shelve that, because that machine, when I was in the video arcade there, it was a little dusty and some cobwebs. So I think this new fighting game craze is really where it's at. Well, it's a couple of guys that are they're embroiled into a combat. Almost of the mortal variety.
Okay.
Where they're fighting for their own mortality.
Okay.
In this mortal type combat that they're having.
Okay. And you got the title?
It's called Street Fighter.
Oh, perfect.
Technically Street Fighter 2, because no one's ever really heard of the first one. And so I think this one has a bigger depth of characters that we could shoehorn in for the kids.
References.
Right, that's what the kids love. They love references.
That's right.
I'm thinking, to really drive the audience in the U.S. here, that we're gonna go and we're gonna get someone to play Guile. He's the all-American fighter fighting for the U.S. of A., trying to take down this M. Bison character.
Ooh, I got a great American actor in mind.
Okay,
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Can we get his people on the line? I think he would be a great fit.
Gary? Yeah, Jean, no, not Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep. Jean-Claude.
We could get
Van
her to
Damme.
Be Cammy.
I don't think we're going to get her.
I could see her doing drill kicks in Frankensteiners.
Okay, my second choice, though, is Kylie Minogue.
She is quite the chanteuse. I will say that. I will give you props. If we can't get the Streepster, we're gonna get this Kylie Minogue. She's the one. That will be our second pick. Now, Raul Julia, hear me out.
Okay.
The villain.
Okay.
He's usually a good guy, you know, like the Gomez Adams or that Romero chap that he played in that movie there where he was the priest that was fighting for, you know, civil rights and things. I think he would be great as a merciless, iron-handed ruling dictator.
Can we sign him for 6 movies in advance?
We would have to, because from what I could tell, they are going to make the next Street Fighter, the Street Fighter 3, very soon. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it won't take, you know, like upwards of a decade for them to make a third Street Fighter video game. So we need to get him in, and we need to get him in for several sequels.
That would be silly if it took that long.
I know. So we've got a good solid base here, we're going to use all the settings and stuff from the game. But, you know, we got to pad this out with a lot of gunplay. And, of course, really overwrought dialogue that really doesn't matter. So once we have the Van Damme kid, Raul Julia.
Yes.
Fingers crossed, Meryl Streep.
Okay, you're reaching for the moon.
I think we could. I think this is the kind of project that we read up her alley. We get these 3 stars and we get someone to write some of the most asinine dialogue and replace all the actual fighting from the video game with gunplay and stupid gizmos. Mm-hmm. That's when the money rolls in.
You know when I pick a movie, that's when I'm under pressure now. The question always comes back to me, what were they thinking now?
Nope.
Oh, sorry.
Dead or Alive. Street Fighter!
Is that better?
I was guessing Dead or Alive, you know, the movie with Jim Presley, Kevin Nash, and Devin Aoki.
Aoki. How you doing, Aoki?
That's how I don't know. Could be Aokai.
I just think I'm that might even be how you pronounce it. I just think
She was everywhere for like 10 minutes back in the early 2000s and then nothing.
Sin City, baby.
But we're not talking about that. Nope. We are talking about Street Fighter.
Yeah, and I'm Brendan.
And I'm Nathan.
And this is What Were They Thinking? A podcast about bad to questionable movies. And as you heard, it's...
On here.
Yeah, okay. We're going to be talking about Street Fighter. This
are
is
you
the...
saying that a movie that I paid theater money to go see is not a worthy film? That it is questionable and or terrible?
The Prodigy!
Hey, that's hitting below the belt, mister.
Just saying. You're number one worst hate. You're number one hated of the, of the last year.
Yeah.
But Street Fighter. Bad to questionable movies. And of course, we brought along a guest. This is actually our guest, our Patreon, who picked this movie for us to do. Please welcome back to the show, Lindsay.
Hey.
Every time you hear the charismatic introduction just goes up and up.
Yeah.
Up and up.
Yeah, like a bell curve.
In my beautiful balloon. $100.
Oh, already off the rails.
Yeah, well, I got some. I heard that Ryan Reynolds was selling aviation gin, so I had to go out and buy some before it was all completed.
Well, is it good?
Good stuff.
If he's bringing back Rick Moranis for it, I'm in.
I know.
42%.
Oh. Speaking of off the rails, this movie stars Jean-Claude Van Damme.
as the All-American Street Fighter.
Yep. Kylie Minogue, or Minocht, as Takahashi would say. Raul Julia.
In the last role.
In his last role. You go out on a great note.
Rivaled only by Bela Lugosi for terrible last roles.
But before we go into it too much, Lindsay, you did pick this movie. So what is your reasoning for this?
I loved Street Fighter games when I was a child.
But you've never seen this movie?
Oh, I've seen it. I loved this movie when I was a child, and now that I watch it again,
You know, you could have picked something different and been like, hey, guys, play some Street Fighter while you're at it. That could be fun, because that's legitimately fun. This movie, on the other hand.
So we do an episode where we just play Street Fighter? People just hear us playing it?
You know what? What were they twitching? That's all I'm just saying. Just saying.
The worst Twitch account ever. No video, just audio.
We can make a Twitch account. We can play. You and I can play video games. Yeah, that's what all the kids are doing there now, aren't they?
Okay, if we made a Twitch account, I don't know about you, but my half would be like, where the fuck am I going? What's going on? Why is the camera doing that?
Oh, my Twitch. I have a Twitch account, and I ended up getting like 20 people watching me, and I was just running around in World of Warcraft. Like, my character's name is Katniss, and I was just screaming, PETA, where are you? And people were telling me to fuck off and stuff, and I got like 25 people watching me, so.
Well, there you go.
Practically famous.
See, people do like references. This movie cost $35 million to make. And it made, astonishingly, it made $99.4 million.
Of course it did. Jean-Claude Van Damme was in this thing.
It was overseas. They made all the money, though.
The peak of his Van Damme powers.
Just about. Because I don't think... What, Knock Off and Double Team were a few years off from this.
Yeah, they were later, and yeah. I don't think they were at his peak. I think he was falling down the hill.
No, that's what I mean. Like that there is kind of the signal that things are going down as far as your peak for Van Damme-ness. There you go, eh?
Well, did you hear about him in The Predator? He was supposed to be the Predator.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
In the new one, that would have been amazing.
No, the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The original with Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
He was actually the Predator, and then he like start ripping the suit he had to wear off, and he's like, I can't do this. So he left. He walked off the set.
Not gonna lie, I was a fan back in the day, I'll tell you. The first time I saw Bloodsport, I was hooked and did not even realize that I had seen him earlier in No Retreat, No Surrender. Because I actually saw that movie before I saw Bloodsport and did not, but still. Yep. Hard Target, Death Warrant. I just watched that a couple weeks back. This, Lionheart, Universal Soldier. Oh, man. The list goes on and on. All potentials for the show.
So as we begin Street Fighter, I don't think we really need to run through a generalization of the plot here. It's Street Fighter made into a movie.
Oh, but that's the thing. It's so terrible.
My first note is noting that the town's name is Chateauneuf. All I could think of is like that song. That's like, you can do whatever you want in Chateauneuf.
I don't know that one.
What is that? I think it's an ABBA song.
Oh, are you sure it's not Waterloo?
No.
Chateauneuf.
It's not Chateauneuf. Did you know?
I don't know what I'm thinking of. It's something. Anyway, you can do whatever you want in Chateauneuf. Hoo-hoo-hoo is my point.
Okay.
This is the city where M. Bison.
Lawless. Yeah.
Yeah. Lucy Lawless owns the city. It's a Xenotography. I can't speak.
Xenotography.
Thank you. Xenotography. It's when you take pictures of Xena. M. Bison, played by Raul Julia.
Whose name actually should have been Balrog.
Gomez Adams.
Yep.
He is, I guess he's like a, supposed to be in this movie, like a drug dealer slash...
No, he's a warlord now.
Yeah, he's a dictator warlord.
Yeah, he started out as a two-bit drug dealer, as Ming-Na will tell us in her turn as Chun-Li.
But we quickly find out that he is holding all these people hostage, these relief workers, and he wants as the reporter says it in a very like weird delivery, an astonishing $20 billion. Yeah, exactly. Binky to
that's how fun. Yeah, I gotta say this is as much as I like doing the camera stuff, it definitely leads us to making stupid visual jokes that usually we leave to Mariah.
Yeah.
But we all just stuck our pinkies up when we talked about the $20 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like it sounds like she's announcing like a fashion show, like an astonishing $20 billion.
Well, she's not a real reporter, though.
Oh, is this Chun-Li at this point?
Spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she was legit. She's a legit reporter, though.
Yeah, she says, well, no. Somewhere in the middle.
Well, no, she's using it as like a cover, but she is a legitimate reporter because she actually does interviews, and we see her on like the television several times. So,
yeah, and there's that famous Chun-Li Nixon interview.
Oh my God, Chun-Li Nixon! When you can get Franklin Jella acting across from Lucy Liu in just it was such a fantastic, realistic recreation, actually.
Oh, I thought it was still Michael Sheen playing the role. Ron Howard made some bold choices with that movie. But you know who didn't make some bold choices? Jean-Claude Van Damme as Guile, because he is being interviewed and he says, Bison, I've got the one message for you. And he like flips him off, or I guess he kind of also flexes at the same time.
Oh, he flexes.
I felt was a lost opportunity to shoehorn in the American Patriot flag tattoo that he has. I mean, they do it later, but I really feel that this is the kind of movie that would put that shit in there every chance they got.
Well, as much as everything else is shoehorned.
Except for one of my favorite characters.
Oh.
Fei Long was not included in this cavalcade of Street Fighter characters. They got T-Hawk in.
White man.
Right. They got Cammy.
That never happens in Hollywood.
No.
They got Cammy, and they got DJ. So those three were part of the new challenger for the Street Fighter 2 game years and years and years ago. But Fei Long, who was based on Bruce Lee, he was also one of those characters, not in this movie, but they do have this one that made up Sadawa, I think it is. He's Japanese. He's the one who watches.
Sagat?
No, it's not Sagat. He's
I know
OG.
Very little.
No, Sagat's OG.
I know very little about the game.
I believe, if I remember correctly, Sagat goes back to Street Fighter.
Well, anyway, Jean-Claude,
I believe so, yes.
Jean-Claude is quickly paints himself as someone who basically gets his best friend killed because he,
all American boys.
Because he's on the news and he threatens Bison and then he says, Charlie, don't worry, I'm coming for you. Way to go, dude. Now Bison knows one of the guys he has captured is your BFF, Charlie. And of course, what does he do? He tortures him and puts him into another room for a scientific experiment.
His military training mentor actually was Patrick Swayze from Red Dawn. He said, what you gonna do, kid? He says, you're gonna want to tell them who your best friend is. So they do science experiments on them. And when you get the drop on them, say, hey.
I love the idea of, like, Patrick Swayze and Jean-Claude Van Damme in 1996 and Swayze being the mentor. And oh, they're yeah, like the same age.
But Swayze had been doing better for himself longer than Jean-Claude Van Damme. So
yeah,
he would be a mentor.
Jean-Claude never did no next of kin.
Kind of like how, you know, for some weird reason, R-Truth's hero is John Cena, who is younger than him.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Okay, wrestling reference, got it in.
Secured. While Lindsay just looks disapprovingly at us. You can
I'm
admit
used
it.
To it. I see my mom on a weekly basis, so I'm used to that sort of thing.
I used to watch wrestling when I was six.
Oh! That's fair. Mm. Why do I have written down Savio Vega wrestling match, by the way?
Savio Vega wrestling? Well, don't they... At one point, they go to...
Is there a character named Vega?
Yeah,
Vega.
Vega's the guy with the claws and the mask.
I wrote down Savio Vega. I didn't remember his name.
Did a really good likeness to him.
I feel that he was not pretty enough.
No? Well, yeah, Vega's, like, a pretty male.
Yeah.
But this is...
And he has a high-pitched voice, too, in the game sometimes.
So we do go to another story. This is our B story, I guess. Yes. We meet Ken and Ryu... who at first I was like, man, I kind of wish the movie was about them more than Guile, but then as the movie went on.
If we're counting, well, I suppose, yeah, Dawson.
And screen time, they're in it the most, I think.
They are, but I mean, it's still ultimately Guile is like the centerpiece, but.
Which is weird.
As the movie goes on, I'm like, I wish.
You pay for Jean-Claude Van Damme, you put him on the poster.
I know.
I wish this was more.
Then he
should have
been playing Ryu then.
I was like, I
or
wish.
Or Ken!
This was...
Yeah,
because
okay.
He's blonde.
So I said, I wish this was more about Ken and Ryu, but then as the movie went on, I was like, you know what? I take that back.
To be fair, Ken and Ryu are woefully misrepresented in this movie because their characters are nothing like the characters
They're not dumbasses.
Right. Actually, Ryu is supposed to be like this very stoic, focused solely on karate martial arts training to be the best, and Ken is somewhat like that. Neither
Ken's a Chuck Norris wannabe.
Yeah. So in the movie, them being this like 2-bit idiot criminal smugglers is such a disservice.
Well, I mean, technically they're 2-bit in the game.
No,
they're eight.
What?
16.
I played Street Fighter, you said 2-bit,
and that's like 50 cents, and a lot of arcade games are 50 cents, and I was like, no, it's only a quarter to play Street Fighter.
No, I played Street Fighter for the...
You should have said!
I played Street Fighter for the ColecoVision. It was all 2-bit characters.
Coleco.
On the upside, everybody in that game was naked.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to get somebody to do fan service drawings for Cammy for you, like, never mind, I've said too much.
So anyway, Ken and Ryu are selling a bunch of guns to Wes Studi playing Sagat.
Or Ryu, or whatever. As people mispronounce his name all throughout the movie.
But he's wise to their shenanigans because they sell him guns with tennis balls in them. and he literally says, surely you're not afraid of your own weapons, before he has everyone turn them on them. And for a second, And I know they eventually, like, Ken and Ryu are playing it up like, oh, we know those guns are fake and now we're going to get discovered. But I swear to God, for like a second before that, they forgot to tell the actors the motivation in the scene, because it looks like the actors playing Ken and Ryu are actually afraid they're going to get shot with guns. I was like, you guys are the ones that brought the fake guns. What is going on?
I did enjoy, well, I don't know, enjoy is the word I'm looking for here, but... I had fun laughing at and pointing at all the ridiculous fan service in this movie that was so tone deaf to like what the actual characters are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. In Sagat's nightclub, there is a rendering of the Buddha that you would fight in front of on the Sagat stage in Street Fighter 2. Yes, I will be nerding out super hard this episode, Brendan. I do apologize.
And I will be nodding, which none of you will be able to hear.
And I'll be understanding.
Which none of you will be able to hear. Yep. Unless Lindsay says,
True that.
So there's a big fight because they obviously, they know that Ken and Ryu gave them shitty guns, fake guns, toy guns. But at one point, there was one of the villains that actually still had it in his hand and was trying to use it. I noted that.
Wait a second.
Well, you do know that the script was written incredibly fast at the last minute.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the script was written in crayon.
Yeah, it could have been, actually.
I would have been less surprised if you had said if the script had like 17 rewrites, like full teardown rewrites.
No, they ad-libbed a lot of the movie.
Oh, okay. So it's like Trailer Park Boys meets Street Fighter. Gotcha.
Well, also the guy that directed and wrote the movie wrote Die Hard and Commando.
What
John McTiernan, what?
No, well, hold on. No, wait a second. John McTiernan directed. I don't think he wrote this movie. Yeah,
the guy that directed this wrote Die Hard.
So Nathan, much like we talked about with Blood Rain, this only proves once again the role of a director can have a major impact on a film for good or bad.
Absolutely.
This man had never directed a movie before.
Is this Steven E. D'Souza?
Yes, and he had never directed a movie before. This was his first credit.
Well, it doesn't show. So back to the AN, the Allied Nations. Where
right, Jean-Claude, you don't want to get sued.
That's right. You don't get sued by the United Nations. Jean-Claude Van Damme is having a meeting. They're having like a board meeting, and some crazy guy comes in for a second, and he just like dispatches of him real quick, and then carries on with the meeting.
Yeah.
The meeting that they have like attached to the local jailhouse.
Yeah.
I don't, maybe it's because it's like the only fortified building in the city. Maybe that's how they could explain it away. But it was really weird that they started this meeting where the attempted assassination happens. But they're also cutting back to Sagat and Ken and all them out in the out in the prison yard. And I'm like, it's kind of weird that they keep cutting back and forth to these two things. Oh. Why can't they just let it kind of lay? And then I find out, oh, they're both in the same place pretty much.
We should have mentioned that too. Yes, during that whole scuffle with Ken and Ryu and Sagat and the toy guns, everyone gets arrested.
Mm-hmm.
They all get ambushed and everyone gets arrested. That's why they're in the prison yard. Like Nathan said, just outside.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that Ryu calling?
It's the video game character Ryu. It's not the guy from Yes, I know they misrepresented you. Yes. Yes, the only true path to enlightenment is yes, I know. The Bushido lifestyle, right? Okay, look, I didn't write it. The guy or direct it. The guy who wrote Die Hard directed it. You promised with him, not with me. Okay.
Hate when all video right, game yeah. characters call in.
I'll see you at the dojo on Saturday.
Okay. Wear a mask.
Yes.
Okay. 6 feet apart.
That's right. That movie, 5 feet apart, is really not responsible at all. It's a very irresponsible movie.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be edgy and racy, right? No.
5 feet apart. we're going back and forth, the prison yard or whatever. And we also find out that Charlie, Jean-Claude Van Damme's buddy that he basically inadvertently sentenced to death, is being turned into something. We don't know yet.
Okay. I have to mention this last.
Incredible Hulk.
Oh my god. If only. Well, Lou Ferrigno.
It's the same makeup.
The lab that they have Dalsim, who they shoehorn into being a scientist working for M. Bison.
Like, where's his little stretch arms?
Okay, first of all, he's supposed to be like, isn't he supposed to be like a high-level yogi? He's not supposed to be a scientist.
No, he's not. He's a really, he meditates a lot.
The thing that really struck me about the Seals Picnic lab is that, one, it looked like the set of either like a Sega CD digital pictures game that you would play, like, with terrible, terrible cheap sets. And also, a Saturday morning live action kids television show.
Both.
Just 35 million dollars,
man. Who
in 1994 money?
But they had to spend at least
a lot of money.
They had to spend at least $2 million on those oversized IV bags that they hooked up to Blanca,
and $20 million for Jean Claude, and $10 million for his blow, and
and it only cost Raul Julia his soul.
Oh,
and his life.
Hey.
So yeah, that laboratory. So anyway, Charlie is being reprogrammed, and again, we don't know what it is yet, but Lindsay kind of said it's like the Incredible Hulk.
I'm sorry. But
with a fright wig.
Yeah.
But a fright wig, like, combed down.
Almost like Michael Myers' hair.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So, the video they have on screen that's, like, supposed to, like, deprogram him or whatever, I looked at it. It's just a girl on fire running around.
Well, that's...
That was like,
that's supposed to be like one scene, because they're supposed to be doing like a Clockwork Orange type thing, I think.
Yeah.
But it's such a lazy, whoever edited that together did it such a lazy job.
They should have used Clockwork Orange scene.
Fun fact, it was Kubrick.
Because later on, when he gets like the good version of that,
a Sarah McLachlan commercial.
No, they have the I Have a Dream speech in there, which they had to apparently pay rights for.
But all... I think we watched a different version because I didn't see that at all.
I saw Sarah McLachlan and her dogs.
I just remember seeing a wedding.
Adopt a dog.
That's sad.
In the arms of an angel.
Sarah McLachlan, here I am trying to smoke weed and watch porn. You need to come on my friggin' television.
You're like, almost there. In the arms of...
God damn it!
These dogs are very sick.
Worse than a clickbait article.
And flaccid. You happy?
Street Fighter.
Yeah, Street Fighter. So, yeah, he's being deprogrammed, blah, 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 blah. So at this point, Jean-Claude gets a great idea. I've got this very elaborate plan. I'm going to have Ken and Ryu and everyone else...
Before we do that, can we talk about the fact that they have apparently propaganda radio playing against the Shadaloo folk, and the DJ is just shamelessly ripping off Good Morning Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And is this the character DJ? Because the character
it is
DJ...
not.
No,
okay.
It's not. The character DJ is the Jamaican.
DJ, by the way, the character DJ played by Miguel Nunez changes his accent several times.
Yeah, he was British, like, and then he was Jamaican by the end.
Aggressively different by the end of the movie. But... So after the Good Morning Vietnam ripoff, Jean-Claude Van Damme comes up with this crazy elaborate plan to have Ken and Ryu and everyone else go aboard, you know, a prison truck and
jailbreak.
He's going to fake his own death by having Ken shoot him with squibs, I guess.
It is extremely realistic. I believed it.
It's really realistic. Actually, when I first saw this movie, I was like, did they just fucking kill him off?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how old I was in 94, but that's how old I was when I saw it.
I saw it as well in 94 at the theater, and I was like, he's not dead. We were, again, as you said, in the middle of the Van Damme-ness, Van Damageddon, as I like to call it, at the absolute height of it, he was not dying in the middle of that movie. It's a Van Damme movie. He's making the end. He's Guile. Guile doesn't die.
Would have been a great twist.
Oh,
I'm just
didn't
saying.
You see the newest, well, not the newest, but the new Godzilla with Bryan Cranston?
Don't get me started.
Mm-hmm.
There's so, like, I enjoyed that movie, but it could have been made so much better in so many ways.
5 minutes of Cranston in the whole movie.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen him make it much further into the movie. But Street Fighter.
So Street the very Fighter. Elaborate, the very elaborate faking his own death thing. So Ken shoots him with squibs. He falls. And the idea is that it gets back to Bison, and Bison kind of doesn't lets his guard down a little bit. And I love, but again, we got to mention
that he's taking like corporate bids on like, oh, you're going to want to be near the food court in Chattanooga City that I run.
Well, that's before he finds out, because then when he finds out, Bison very quickly says, is it very sad because he regretted that he couldn't fight him face to face and snap his spine.
And he delivers like some sort of like poetic line that's supposed to honor the great warrior that was Colonel Guile, and DJ's like, okay.
Yeah.
Guile's like a meathead alcoholic.
You're just adding characteristics to him.
Are you talking about Zangief?
No. Meathead, like a cool surfer blonde with, I don't even know what type of haircut he's supposed to have, but
ooh, DJ?
It's like up and it's like a
it's like this weird
upside down mullet
broom head hat thing going on, yeah.
So after that, so Bison is like, you know, I wish I should have killed him. I wish I had killed him. But after that, Chun-Li, we find out there's more to her than meets the eye, and no, she's not a Transformer. But
she's accompanied. Don't forget, she's accompanied by E. Honda. In Balrog, whose name was supposed to be M. Bison.
Okay. I don't know.
Well, he was. When the game was sent over to the U.S., the character of M. Bison was the boxer, because it was supposed to be a play on Mike Tyson. And Balrog sounds like an evil German Middle Eastern, or not Middle Eastern, Eastern European. That's the word I'm looking for.
No, Middle
German
Earth.
Middle Eastern.
Don't ask.
Middle Earth.
Eastern European dictator with the name of Balrog. It's like very Russian or German, right? So Balrog, that's why. Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly enough, Balrog in this movie, the character who played Balrog, was in Die Hard.
So she realizes something is up because she actually manages to put a tracker on the prison truck that gets away. And she's like, wait a second, my tracker is interfering with another tracker. Why would they put a tracker on if they thought everything was going to go smoothly? Something is amiss. She goes sneaking through the morgue, and Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah, I guess Jean-Claude Van Damme was just laying there waiting for someone to show up.
Yeah,
he just pops up out of the body bag.
He's like, time to go.
To go, like, how long were you waiting there, dude? Like, you couldn't have just like hid in a basement somewhere, like,
or you know, if he was supposed to be legitimately waiting for somebody to come and unzip him, like, you know, some covert op that got in to Bison's, he should have just been like, go the hell away, I need to get back in this body bag.
Yeah, something. It just felt like he waited a long time to scare the first person that came in the room.
Fun or interesting tidbit.
Close one.
It was, wasn't it? E. Honda, supposed to be Japanese.
Not Japanese.
Full on Hawaiian, and they straight up call him Hawaiian. So
That made me angry.
So they kinda Yokozuna'd him a little bit.
He's supposed to be Yokozuna.
Because Yokozuna, they said was from Japan, even though he was from Hawaii.
No, that's what I mean though.
Oh, yeah. they reversed it there.
Yeah.
I see what you did.
They Zuna Yoko'd him.
Which was weird because John Tenta, who was playing, Avalanche at the time. Earthquake. Earthquake. Avalanche was his WCW name, wasn't it?
And the Shark.
Right. And John Tenta, Earthquake, was an actual Yokozuna who fought a character named Yokozuna. Yokozuna
All
being
this...
a, you know, sumo wrestling champion.
Mm-hmm. All of this. You already got the wrestling reference in.
I know. This is like double plus secured.
Is that like double secret probation?
Absolutely, but in a good way.
I don't know. Animal House is pretty fun, so
yeah,
seemed pretty good to me.
But I mean, double plus secret probation is a bad thing.
I mean, I guess, but you know, Bluto could turn that into a positive, I'm sure.
I'm sure he probably could with some sort of food fight or, you know, a joke about being a zit, but Street Fighter.
So he finds out Chun-Li has some vendetta against Bison, and he's like, you can't go after him. It's not about your personal vendetta, dot, 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 clears room. It's about mine.
What is his vendetta, though?
I don't know. He's
angry.
They
didn't explain it.
No, his vendetta is Charlie.
Oh, yeah, Charlie.
Which but... by the way, is his fucking fault.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I mean, it's not his fault that Charlie got captured, but it is it's his fault that Bison knows who Charlie is.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I feel like if he was dumb enough to give him up, though, I feel like he probably would have was dumb enough to get Charlie captured.
Yeah, I mean...
But we go back to Bison, because one of my favorite bits here is West Studi is like, all right, pay me off, buddy. It's time to get my payment. And he pays him in Bison bucks, basically.
Bison bucks, yeah.
And I wrote down this. This reminded me of the scene in Dumb and Dumber when Jim Carrey is like, those are IOUs. They're just as good as the real thing.
They're as good as money.
As good as money. You see this one? It's a free car. Might want to hang on to that one.
Mm-hmm. I want some Bison.
But he's like, yeah,
it's for an entirely different reason. You wouldn't want to spend them. You want them as a collectible because you're a fan of Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm. West Studi is like, the fuck I'm gonna do with these?
As he was right to think.
But Chun-Li, meanwhile, Chun-Li has gotten away with her crew, with Balrog and E-Honda, and
by Manu from Necessary Roughness.
Mm. I haven't seen it. Coming soon.
Maybe it's a comedy, but you know how hard you are with those. So,
so yeah, they all get there. Is this where they're like dancing for everyone? And like Ken and Ryu are there, and Chun-Li
they're like circus
things. Yeah, they're supposed to be performing, doing like acrobatic stuff and tricks. So it's that's what's happening while M. Bison is like, hey, take my Bison bucks for payments, Sagat, and I'll even give you a small country.
It sounded like it's that now it sounds like an old like comedian. Hey, take my Bison bucks. Take them, please. but yeah, she's like dancing and stuff. And we find out that Bison is basically like, take care of Ken and Ryu because they're good people. They killed Guile. I love them. They're awesome. They're part of the team.
Little
does he know. So Chun-Li and her team set up a bunch of explosives that like and. They're also filming it as a news report, which for some reason there's a TV in like a little tent that's broadcasting it. And I think one of the best lines in the movie here is when they fling the explosives at like Bison's weapons and stuff. And the big dude, I forget his name.
Zangief.
Okay.
Played by Latimer from the program.
Russian. He's Russian.
He just looks at the TV. He's looking at the TV at live feed. He's looking outside back and forth, and he just says, change the channel!
Yes, because it was coming right for them.
Emphasizing that he's
it was coming right
dumb.
For them.
Yes, he is dumb. I don't know if you get that, though, guys, because he only mentions it like 20 times. Mm-hmm. Everyone is captured off screen. Chun-Li, Ken and Ryu, well, they still think Ken and Ryu are good guys. Mm-hmm. Well, bad guys, villains,
good,
whatever.
Good bad guys.
Good bad guys.
They're really good at being bad guys.
But Chun-Li, Balrog, and E-Honda are captured. And then we have, oh my god, we have this moment where I said, this movie thinks, and I know this is going to be a huge revelation, this movie thinks we're really stupid. Because Ken says to Ryu, he's like, sucks. Those guys are good guys. Like us. And then Ryu has to say, you know what? Lately, I don't feel so good. It's like, oh, what? There's shades of gray. Yeah, no shit. We're watching the goddamn movie.
I gotta tell you something, Brendan. If you had been a fan of the game, you would have been thinking, this movie thinks I'm stupid from minute one.
Well, that's what I mean. But I'm just saying, like, this is like one of those script things. And I'm like, fuck off. I'm listening to the dialogue. I know what's going on. But then we do cut back to the Allied Nations because we, for some reason, the director picked the one guy who had a hard time getting a sentence out to be the guy asking Jean-Claude Van Damme a question at the meeting.
Ugh, the ADR briefing is my note on that.
He's basically, I think He's coming up with a plan to stop Bison, and they said, this is a suicide mission. You're crazy. And he's like, ah, luckily Bison has driven me crazy, so I'll do it.
Spot on Van Damme there, by the way.
Thanks.
It's a little Arnold, but a lot of Van Damme.
Meanwhile, E. Honda is being tortured.
And but he's going to a special place.
Yeah.
Just like a show dog.
Oh, no. No. Oh. Lindsay, where were you when Show Dogs was re-edited in theaters?
I was working at the theaters. And I had to quickly re-ingest the new version. And put it on before the weekend.
The weekend went to your theater?
No.
Whoa.
No, I had to get it on screen before I played that blasphemous original copy.
That scene, I've seen the full scene. It's kind of disturbing.
Oh my god. How did they think that was okay?
I don't know. Hollywood. Executive producer Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, wow. That took a turn.
Before he killed himself, he's like, oh, I swear, he didn't kill himself. Before he died, he was like, I gotta make one more movie. And I wanna make it for the kids.
So,
give me Show Dogs.
Oh, God.
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter.
Yeah, Honda is, he blocks out the pain. Like, he says he goes to that place. And then they have this lame joke where Balrog is like, hey, the next time your mind goes to that place, can you bring back a pizza? Did you expect like a sitcom, like Womp Womp or a laugh track there? Like, come on, guys.
I expected a Womp Womp.
Did they make some sort of hand job joke here next? Because that's the general vibe that I got that came after the pizza joke.
Which one was this?
It was when they were trying to break out, and he was like, he said, look, give me a hand, and it looked like he wanted him to touch down in his crotchal regions.
Oh, I don't know. I did not catch that.
I wouldn't put it past this movie.
No, I wouldn't. The script was written in about 2 days, probably.
So, guys, then we find out who the real villain of this movie is, and it's bureaucrats. Because this evil little weaselly dude, and of course Jean-Claude Van Damme would put like one of the top villains as like this nerdy little guy, like glasses and everything.
You wouldn't believe the trials you had to go through to unlock that character as a fightable character in Street Fighter.
Mr. Glass. Yeah. But he shows up and he's like, You're not doing this mission. Blah 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 blah. I don't care if you're gonna kick that son of a bitch Bison's ass so hard. You're not going. It's not gonna happen. And Jean-Claude is basically like, yes, I am, and they go. It's just another. It's just funny because like I love those movies where the action star, the big buff action star, like one of the villains is like always like a nerdy like weasel character.
Always and usually a bureaucrat or Mr. Scientist.
Even happens today. It was just I just saw that in like The Old Guard, which is a great movie, but one of the villains is literally like a little nerdy dude. He's basically like Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, it was like the villain in Wonder Woman, the first one.
One of the villains, yeah.
Yeah, the guy that played Ares.
Yeah, he's such a nerdy, nerdy little underling.
Yeah.
This is the scene, guys. This is the scene where Chun-Li is placed in Bison's quarters.
Mm-hmm. And her hair and her suit.
But it's super racist outfit. I mean, I know it's fan service for the game, but come on.
But she doesn't even wear that. That's not her main uniform.
Also, guys, can we talk about the painting of the clown?
I blocked that out of my memory.
I was thinking more of the painting that where M. Bison looked like Napoleon on the horse.
Yeah, that was awesome. Was
a pretty great painting. I can see him having that. But the clown painting was strange to me. And she even glances at
it. Everybody loves a clown, so why don't you?
She glances at it for a second and then just kind of looks away, and then we never go back to that. It's just that's yeah. just there. But
I think it's actually supposed to establish that yes, M. Bison is indeed a full-on sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his choice of wall art.
Mm.
Decor.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah.
But this is the point where Chun-Li tells us why she has this vendetta against Bison, is he came into her village when she was young. Her father defended the village. He ended up killing her father. And Bison comes back with probably the greatest scene in this movie, probably the greatest part of this movie, where he says, "For you, when Bison graced your village, it was the most important day of your life. For me, it was Tuesday."
Right.
Raul Julia, by the way, killing every single word. Like, just absolutely killing it.
Ham the whole movie, and it was amazing.
He knows. I was telling Nathan this before we went on the air. He's the only one in this movie that knows exactly what kind of movie this is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And does not stop having fun the entire time.
Exactly.
He accepted that role because his sons love the game so much.
Yeah, that's literally the only reason he did it.
Mm-hmm.
So Chun-Li ends up kicking his ass for a little bit.
Mm.
But then after a distraction from the most useless friends of all time, because they literally come in and ruin everything, Bison manages to escape and just fucking gasses everyone. Yeah, just the friends just come in and they're like, "We're going to help you. Wait, what? You're here? Oh, shit. Now we're all trapped."
The gas trap. But what's that note? I don't even know.
I saw you looking down. I was like, Nathan has a note he's trying to decipher right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's something to do. It has to do with one of the screens, I think. Because, well, I mean, for me, a lot of the graphics or lack thereof that they put onto the computer screens, again, just really drove home how cheaply made this game was. Honestly, if it had been the size of a postage stamp on my screen, I would have thought I was playing Sega CD again, watching this movie.
Bless.
It does look really cheap. I know. I like how you mentioned the set too, because as soon as that laboratory set showed up, I was like, "Is this Mystery Science Theater or something?" Mm-hmm. Like,
right? It so much so that it's even like the color palettes that they used are so off from everything else we see in the movie.
Yeah. Jean-Claude is in his attack boat, mm-hmm. as stealth is everyone boat. Else. Stealth boat. While he looks at pictures of, I guess, his family with like a really, just like a typical, like, you know, flavorless pop song playing in the background.
It's the 90s. Let's be honest.
I just like how that's their like futuristic idea of someone looking at like a picture before they go to war or something.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be Charlie and them having like a good time before all this stuff happened.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
It's like, "Oh shit, I killed your bro.
Sorry, didn't mean to tell your name to the raving lunatic who had captured you and is holding you hostage."
Nope,
my bad.
But guess what he does do? He basically announces that he's coming. That sounded like something else. He basically announces that he's on the way, just like he fucked over Charlie. He announces that he's coming over to invade. And he had the upper hand by faking his own death, and now he's ruined it already.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. Learn from the best.
Sweet.
Meanwhile, Charlie has become, well, his last name is already Blanca, but he's become Blanca. And guys, this is probably the most faithful adaptation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my fucking gosh.
It's cosplay. It's cosplay.
Oh, it's so terrible. Like, the character is supposed to be from Brazil, mm-hmm. I believe, first
check.
Yep, he is.
Yeah. I believe the actual character was not some sort of science experiments gone wrong. He was just some weird dude who was raised by like electric eels and shit
in
the Amazon.
That is true. That is basically his backstory.
I don't know if raised by electric eels is as dumb though. That sounds pretty dumb too.
Well, when you see him use his electric move, you will understand.
You understand, yeah.
But Blanca escapes because the doctor has been sneakily inserting images of good stuff in there to kind of bring his mind back to a less evil state.
Sarah McLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan and Martin Luther King and two people getting married.
Yep. And a family. There's a little girl on her own too.
Yeah, this girl is not on fire, nor is there a portrait of her. So he comes in and like he attacks the guard. He saves the doctor. And then this is a point in the movie where there's just like a shit ton of fighting. Like this is the last 50 minutes of the movie and it's just padded.
It's the swan song of the movie.
Did we talk about the other fan service they did where M. Bison's control panel was the Street yep. Fighter control yep. panel?
Oh, I love that part every second.
Yeah.
I do like how he asks DJ to check and see if they put the $20 billion into his Swiss bank account yet. Nope. And it turns out, well, why did he have zero? Like, is that anything there to start with?
He opened the account specifically for ransom transfers.
Right. Like, how many Swiss bank accounts do you have, dude? Like,
this is only one.
Learn to compartmentalize.
Like, as you said, we get a bunch of fighting here, too. And this is a really where they start shoehorning in guys like T-Hawk. Cammy does a Frankensteiner and I think a drill kick at one point.
Yeah, like, she says it out loud.
She
yeah.
does it. And then she also, like, she snaps a guy's neck with her feet or with her legs and then does a move. And I'm like, that's unnecessary. He's already dead.
That's how she fights.
That's the game. That's all that was just shamelessly put in there to try to appeal to the fanboys that they'd already do.
It's just shameless.
She's just whipping corpses around?
Yeah, that's what she does. She fights with her legs.
I get that, but I'm just mean like she literally kills the guy and then still fights him for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta make sure he's dead.
Jean-Claude Fine. I'm not calling him Guile. It's Jean-Claude. I'm sorry. Jean-Claude gets into the lab and he actually finds Charlie, aka Blanca, and he makes a very quick decision to mercy kill him.
Like, it was very quick.
There's yeah. no hesitation.
He looks nothing like Charlie, but he knew he was Charlie.
Knew he was Charlie immediately and just looks at him and says, "I'm so sorry, friend." Like, basically.
He's just like holding the gun up. I'm like, he's not going to kill him, is he?
Like, I don't even think Blanca wanted that at first, because you even see when Jean-Claude raises the gun, he kind of looks at him like, "Gah?"
He's like, "I didn't read the script. I don't know what's going on."
Yeah, I didn't read the last rewrite from 10 minutes ago.
You know, I think they only gave half the actors the rewrites.
Yeah, everyone else just had to remember, just ad-lib, throw it in. Or did Uwe Boll direct this movie or something?
You know, it's a video game. Movie. It's terrible.
It plays out like a video game.
I feel like his version would be even worse, and I can't imagine.
Absolutely it would be. Oh my god, it would be just absolutely terrible.
I can only imagine.
Ugh, don't put that sort of thing into the ether.
I'm sorry. But he doesn't get to mercy kill Blanca because the doctor is like, "Whoa, dude, don't mercy kill this guy."
Yeah, like, what the fuck? He's still a person. I gave him Sarah McLachlan. He's fine.
Sarah McLachlan and Martin Luther King. He'll live. big shootout. Lots of guns.
They miss all the hostages, though.
E-Honda. Yeah, somehow. E-Honda squares off with Zangief. Is that his name?
Yes, that's him.
Yeah. They fight for, like, the rest of the movie, I think.
They fight for a good chunk.
They actually have that Godzilla bit where Sawada sees them.
That was such a weird scene, because they're watching them fight, and for some reason the Godzilla sounds are like over their fighting, and I'm like, wait, what is it? Hold on,
because they're fighting on the like the Shadaloo City model that Bison had.
But I'm like, are we supposed to be the ones hearing it, or is this playing in the story?
It's playing in the story.
Spriunk!
Because they're watching a TV screen and they see them fighting, they're just like, what the fuck?
And of course, it's like a bunch of Japanese guys that see this.
I also found it some of the design choices that happen in M. Bison's stronghold, particularly the floor knives that were retractable. Who do you? What kind of contractor does that? Like, who would you reach out to for something like that?
Probably the same people who worked on the Death Star.
That's fair. They'll take
and
just
all
about
James
any
Bond villains. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're saying you're gonna put barracudas in this? Job's a job.
Oh my god. I got a fun note. I wish I had put this up when we were talking about all the crap that they were showing Blanca for the good stuff. Because at one point someone looks, Bison brings up, what's wrong? Why isn't he attacking like I tell him to? And he sees what Dalsim has been showing him. And I was like, oh, Dalsim was showing him Kazoo Kid.
He was too, and he punched the TV.
And he's so mad about Kazoo Kid that he smashes the TV.
Right.
and literally has like a, no! I mean, more fighting. Jean-Claude has a knife at one point. A bunch of soldiers with guns just stop cold and is in their tracks, and he's totally convinced for a second that he is the one that made them scared. And then he looks back, and there's a bunch of guys with guns, and he's like, "Oh, okay, I get it."
Also, Ryuk grows a conscience.
Oh yeah, you mean Ken does?
No, Ryu does first.
Mm-hmm. Oh
he's
right,
he's the one
yeah.
who says he's helping, and then right, Ken's like, "Well, so long, thanks, K, bye."
Yeah, I'm gonna go get the money. Peace.
The M. Bison money.
What's that?
The M. Bison Bryce money. Bucks.
Yeah. Well, Bison they don't know that yet, but they think it's they just will. Money. meanwhile, this big one-on-one fight is going down between Jean-Claude and Raul Julia, a.k.a. Bison. And mm-hmm. Lindsay, what did you say just before we went on the air? You said something about this fight scene that would help to understand how shitty it is.
Oh, yes. So Raul Julia was... in stage 4, I think, and he was terminal. So he was basically dying. And usually in movies, they film it where they do all, like, the dialogue scenes first, just to get to know the characters and everything, and the fight scenes are after they've choreographed them, but Raul Julia likes to do his own stunts, so he's like, no, we have to do the fight scenes first. They didn't have them choreographed, so they basically just winged it.
Wow.
And you can't tell.
Mm-mm. They're amazing.
Got a note here. Just before this whole fight starts, is when, and this is when Guile says they're just gonna duke it out mano a mano. Cammy says, "Colonel, you can't," but with such an accent, sounds like she calls him something else.
Oh,
well, she's Australian trying to be British,
right?
Yeah, her accent, again, much like Miguel Nunez, she had different accents at different times in the movie. I think her character secret was that when she reached a different level of emotion, she reverted back to a different country that she lived in.
Yeah.
I mean, we can get Kylie Minogue on the show and see what she has to say.
Let's do that. Get her people. maybe Ishiro and Takahashi can square that
Wait,
away for us.
Hold on. I got a note right here because I know Balrog is supposed to be like a boxer, but when did he put on the fucking boxing gloves?
Right?
Where did he
and
get
why
them
would
from?
You? Why would you?
Why would you? And where did he get them?
I assumed he got them from the gym, the M. Bison gym, because that was part of the thing that they had there.
Like, that was. That was one of the biggest fan service, like shitty fan service things. It was like, oh shit, he's a boxer. I don't know. Put him in boxing gear, well, quick.
When you fight with him, he is the boxing gloves.
And then they did that paint for E Honda. They gave
and their geese.
Yes.
The red and the white.
There was a bell that you would see in the M. Bison stage in M. Bison's headquarters. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing glued a cat to the chest of Zangief so they could get that look. Because if anybody's seen the program, Latimer is not that hairy.
No.
He also, at one point also, right, Ken has as his moment of conscience, too, his change of conscience. And he comes back and he like sees that Ryu is about to be attacked. And for some reason, I guess he just thinks that he can yell and Ryu will hear him, even though he's in the control room and there's no possible way of that. He talks into the speaker thing for a second. I was like, Ken, I'm pretty sure that just goes to some dude's walkie-talkie. Like, I don't think that actually is like a loudspeaker.
I believe, doesn't Chun-Li do a spinaroonie here at one point, or is that Guile that does it?
It's probably Chun-Li. I don't remember
that. I think it's Guile. I don't think Chun-Li does any of her signature moves.
Because there is, yeah, because Guile has a spinaroonie from the floor, whereas Chun-Li's is like a helicopter.
Yeah, I don't see her do it once in the movie.
Kylie Minogue got to do more stuff than Chun-Li. It's almost like she was fucking a star or something.
Kylie Minogue had unlimited bullets.
Van Damme, Guile, Colonel William Guile, actually, thinks that M. Bison is dead. Nope.
Not according to the Bison life support system.
His suit is it has doctors in there.
It starts doing like chest compressions on him, injects like adrenaline to get his heart going again. So
it's his suit that does it, right? Because he's just kind of okay. Because it's weird because it's like
his
the
suit
computer
has a doctor in it. My notes say
it's like the computer is the one like with those readings, but he's just kind of like leaning in the middle of the room, and I was like, wait. Can it happen anywhere in the room? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why does it say that, like, on the suit itself? It should have been, like, a big computer screen that came up on the suit. That's, like, compression.
And you'd think that Guile would have seen all that happening.
Nope. No. He was too busy turning around.
Being full of himself.
There's some other things in this movie that remind you of better movies, like when Ryu gets slashed like Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon from Vega. When they bring Bison back, he finally does like his Psycho Crusher moves, which is all its electrical moves that they had in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But then when Jean-Claude Van Damme defeats him again, we get the great ADR line, Bison, you're off the air.
They managed to somehow get a shuriken from Ryu.
Yeah, I was waiting for that the whole movie. I was holding my breath.
It's not good.
No.
He basically double palm thrusts a guy in the chest, and they just like a flash.
Yeah.
Whereas in the game, it's a projectile that you throw across the screen.
It's like the Kamehameha.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Wes Studi and DJ manage to escape, and they've got the Bison Bucks, and then quickly realize they're Bison Bucks, and they're obviously like, oh, shit, what the fuck are we going to do with these? The big guy, Zangief, just turns face.
On a dime. Oh, we were the bad guys? I am good guy.
Exactly.
Literally.
He's just dumb.
Like, yeah, and he also has that moment where he's like, they're like, he asks DJ, like, why would you do this if you're a bad guy? He's like, well, because the money, man, getting paid. And he's like, you got paid?
Yeah, I'm just like, it's the meme. Mm-hmm. There's a meme nowadays about it, but it's from We're the Millers, not this movie. So this movie is actually the OG of that meme.
Yeah, We're the Millers is the Street Fighter remake, though.
Mm-hmm, it is.
That was better than the other Street Fighter.
You didn't like the Chun-Li Street Fighter with Lana Lang?
Fucking no.
From Smallville?
When I watched that movie, someone asked me straight out, oh, what did you think of it? I said, I think it makes Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme look like Enter the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, I did mention this to Nathan, but I gotta say this to everyone. A friend of mine has worked with and was friends with Kristen Crook, Lana Lang from Smallville, and he said he basically like guarded her from looking at those reviews because she's a very nice girl, very nice, sensitive girl, and he said, you know what? You don't need to. It's fine. Like, don't read them. Because she knew they weren't going to be good. And he was just like, you don't need to read the details. That's only going to hurt you. Trust me.
Well, hope she didn't read the details from Smallville because her character was annoying.
Lindsay.
We get everybody limping out of the Shadaloo temples after M. Bison has been defeated.
Well, except Guile. Guile's missing.
Except for Blanca. Blanca and the doctor kill themselves.
You don't see them again.
Now we know the real motivation. The doctor didn't want Guile to kill him because he wanted to do it.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't see them again.
Well, they die. I'm pretty sure they die. Well, we never know because they could have come back in the sequel.
They better not have died.
Yeah, they're all outside. Guile, we all, again, we all think, oh no, Jean-Claude Van Damme's still in there, he might be dead. Okay, this one I didn't buy into at all. And then we get some weird moment where he makes it out, and there's a moment between like him and Kylie Minogue that's like, she's really sad and stuff, and I'm like, were they an item at some point? Because I don't remember that.
I think they were just supposed to be close friends and compatriots.
I guess. I'm surprised they didn't go for a romance thing there. But maybe that's because they were really doing something at the time. Maybe Jean-Claude didn't want his wife to get more suspicious. But guys, it ends on the most fan servicey note it could possibly end on.
That jump.
Everyone doing their poses.
I had to rewind it.
And they got Sawada in there, who's not even a character in the games.
He's the Poochie of Street Fighter. But we end on a classy note, guys. It says, for Raul, vaya con Dios. And it's classy and everything's great. And oh my God, what's happening after the credits? No. Because after the closing credits, Bison arm reaches up like a zombie in the rubble. And after we just had a nice little tribute to an actor that passed, we get a weird.
He could raising. Be back.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's fucked that they did that, because we talked about Show Dogs and how they recut the movie while it was in theaters.
Yeah.
And you were able to show the recut that week. Why then? Because Raul Julia died before this came out. Why don't you just snip that end off at the post credit and send it on out to the theaters to be shown?
Well, and that's even easier, because that's not even in the movie.
Right. You just have to snip the tail end of the film.
Yeah. Where are all those brave theater projectionists that just did it themselves out of respect for Raul Julia? Tell me that, Lindsay.
Kind of put me on the spot there.
That was pretty funny.
When you were a projectionist in 1994.
1994, I was a child.
As was I.
I was 16.
Well, you were still young. You're a teenager. Street Fighter, guys. That was Street Fighter. Lindsay, would you recommend the film Street Fighter to people?
No. I would recommend the anime that came after, but... yeah, that's a different conversation.
All right, Nathan?
Oh, absolutely I would.
Oh, you would recommend?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I you know what? Again, it is a case study in what can absolutely go wrong when all you concern yourself is with fan service and overwrought cheesy dialogue and not doing any legitimate research or presentation of the characters as they appear in the source material.
I'm going to go right in the middle, because I think the first 40 minutes is actually the best part of the movie. Because I think once it's just like all those like fighting scenes crammed together, it gets kind of long for me. But the first like 40 minutes when it's just ridiculous, and anytime obviously Raul Julia is on screen, I'm having fun at least.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's somewhere in the middle. It's kind of good, bad, but not quite in that plateau of like, I don't know, Mortal Kombat or something.
What?
Well, what? Mortal Kombat is good, bad. I still think it's entertaining.
The
I
movie or Kombat. The game?
The movie.
Both.
I love the game.
Love them both.
All right, well, that's Street Fighter. We're all kind of in our own little realm of recommendations, so take that as you will. But we will be right back.
What Were They Thinking is brought to you by HostGator. HostGator is a leading provider of shared, reseller, VPS, and dedicated hosting solutions. Award-winning support is available 24/7, 365 days a year via phone, email, and live chat. Discover why over 9 million websites trust HostGator. Use the coupon code SCHLUCK for 25% off your first purchase. That's SCHLUCK, S-C-H-L-O-C-K, for 25% off your first purchase.
Oh, man, I've been stuck on this dungeon for, like, 2 weeks now. I wish I knew how to get past this stuff.
Well, there, little youngster. I think I can help you out.
Whoa, Jimmy Stewart!
Well, that's right.
Just, Mr. Stewart, I've been stuck on this dungeon for 2 weeks now. Do you know where I could get some help with it?
Well, listen, if Jimmy Stewart knows one thing, it's video gaming.
You were Nintendo World Champ 3 years straight.
That's right. You know how I did that?
How?
Well, for the good folks at GameItAll.com.
Wow, they sound keen, Mr. Stewart.
It's your one-stop shop for all nerdy talk.
Do they know about up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, B, A, start?
I think I just had a stroke.
That's GameItAll.com, giving Jimmy Stewart a stroke since 2020. What were they
thinking? And we're back. But it is now time for the low haiku.
Yes, the low haiku. 17 perfect syllables to discuss the movie we just talked about for the last hour and some change.
That's right, Street Fighter. So, Lindsay, as our guest, would you like to read your haiku?
Yeah, it makes no sense, but I think it encapsulates the movie.
Oh, okay.
It's not grammatically correct, though.
Okay.
Terribly jungle, ridiculous fighting kicks, in spite of the lame.
It's very haiku, actually. Very, very haiku.
Extremely haiku.
Very obtuse. I like it.
I love it.
All right. Nathan, would you like to read yours?
Yes. Put in your quarters. Hadouken and Sonic Boom. Better than Chantel.
Very good.
Sorry.
Okay. Movie is bad, but Raul freaking Julia, thanks for your service.
That was beautiful.
Vaya con Dios.
I wanted to and just like Bison's fist breaking through the rubble, we are out of NPR.
Yes, we are, because now is the time when we say... What do we say?
We say...
Don't take a word for it!
That's right. Don't take our word for it, because... We head over to Rotten Tomatoes and we see that the critics, of all the critics that reviewed this film, 10% of them enjoyed it on some basic level. And of the audience, 20%. So not a runaway hit in either camp.
But apparently a runaway hit at the box office?
Yeah, crazy. Well, I think Lindsay also, I think like what Lindsay said, because I think it made most of its money overseas as well.
Mm-hmm. It was.
I don't think it was a huge hit in America.
No.
But. Let's go through these critics here. We get first one here. We got from Sheila Johnston of the Independent UK. And she says, as for Jean-Claude, it's a tough stretch for him to play a figurine from an arcade game, but why he almost manages to be convincing. That's almost a positive view.
Yeah. Except it was rotten.
Oh, was it rotten? I thought it was rush. My bad.
Yeah, no, it's a rotten one,
okay. But it was a good review.
I have Malcolm Johnson from the Hackford Current, who says, with Van Damme giving one of his most wooden performances and D'Souza failing to capitalize on his graceful fight moves, Street Fighter adds up to the worst of bad crop of Christmas movies, a picture only an arcade junkie could share. 0.5 out of 4.
Ooh, glowing.
This one's from Dan Webster. And he says, it's too bad that the late Raul Julia had to finish career with this dreck. Honestly, he did it for his children, dude. You should have read that. Be more informed.
I love the editorial.
I don't know, man, because even his kids might not have approved. Look at what Dennis Hopper's kids said to him about Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, wait, what?
We don't talk about that movie.
Oh, when... Okay, so... this is a great story. Dennis Hopper's kid asked him why he did such an awful movie when he like Super Mario Brothers, because it's abysmal. And he said, well, you know, son, it was you know, so you could have shoes, nice shoes and stuff. Basically saying I did it to pay the bills. And his kid said to him, Dad, I didn't need shoes that bad.
It was a CG. It was one of those Christian Slater cash grabs that he always talks about.
Yeah.
Nigel Floyd of Time Out says Julia in his final role hams it up shamelessly as the camp commandant. But not even his suave presence and throwaway quips can save this noisy, brainless mess.
Okay. Well, your country idol, Chris Hicks, says...
Wow.
From
that joke is for four people.
From the Desert News in Salt Lake City, says... Oh, wow. offers an uneasy mix of off-the-wall farce and violent mayhem. It's in its first half and then gives way to a heavy-handed gunplay and ridiculously high body count during its second half.
Yeah, that's basically how I felt. Is the second half, it was
body
just like
count's
blah.
Not that high. Did they ever see John Wick?
In the sense that the bodies fall, they hit the floor.
Yeah.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Remember that song, guys?
Yes, I do.
Martin Scribbs. Actually, this is Lindsay.
Oh, okay, cool. Megan.
Scribbs.
Megan Navarro from
Dave's
Birth
sister.
Oh shit. De-Earth. She wrote a positive review, so I'm gonna read that because we need a little positive in our lives.
We do.
She said, "Even though I'm a mess, Street Fighter is, I will defend it to the end of time for what Raul Julia brought to the film."
That's the most positive review.
Doing the Lord's work there.
All right, it's my last critic's one. It's from Martin Scribbs of Low IQ Canadian. He says, "If you grew up playing Street Fighter 2, you must see this movie. If not, stay far, far away."
I feel that could go for both.
Well, you'll have to contact the Low IQ Canadian.
I guess you would. My last one comes from Richard Harrington. From the Washington Post, and I will deliver it the way I feel that he would want it delivered.
Okay.
Game over!
Lindsay, you got another critics one?
Yep, this one's from Felix Vasquez Jr. from Cinema Crazed, and he wrote, "Even at 11 years old, I couldn't understand why this was so bad while the games were so incredible."
Felix is not wrong.
No.
But you know what is wrong? The audience reviews. Mm-hmm. We're going to go into these audience reviews. They're always golden. Stefano C. gives this movie 3 stars. And he simply says, "I was very, very young, ...
I have one from Jason N., who I can only assume is Jason Newsted from the band Metallica. Wrote, "Wow, this movie makes Mortal Kombat look like an Academy Award winning film."
Does it?
And then it says, ... "Don't download this on Napster."
Oh no, that's only that would be if it was Lars. No, U.
Metallica. Oh, okay. Yeah, right, it was just Lars actually.
Oh, was it just Lars? Okay. I was being Metallica stereotypical. Metalliotypical.
Right.
This one's from Steve D, 2 stars. And he wrote, "Better than Double Dragons. But still ridiculous. It's Double Dragon." But okay.
And also Double Dragon is great, so you can take that comment back.
Was Scott Wolf playing twins?
Yeah, no, they looked exactly alike.
No, it's Scott Wolf and Mark DaCostas.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? I thought it was Scott Wolf playing twins. Like,
wait,
it's been
what?
So long. It's been so long since I saw that movie.
That would have been amazing.
I was a child.
But instead it's two people that look nothing alike playing brothers.
I don't even think that movie played in theaters. Did it?
It did. It did.
Didn't play in theaters in St. John. I know
did,
that.
But like it ate it shit at the box office, so I think it was very limited.
Yeah, because
well,
I had to rent it from a Greco.
Ooh,
a Greco.
Yes, because you see, children, back in the late '80s and early '90s, every place was renting videos, not just Blockbuster and not just corner stores. I remember going to Cox Radio and TV to rent videos. I remember going to the Greco on Rossi Avenue in St. John.
Every corner store and gas station rented videos.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not, I don't think it's really odd at all that a pizzeria would rent videos.
Can I get a 2-liter of Pepsi, a 12-inch Garlic Fingers, and a copy of Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li?
Well, that was long. They were long done doing that. But I could have got a 2-for with Double Dragon and The Crush, because those are two movies that I rented from The Greco.
Alicia Silverstone, The Crush?
Yep.
Oh, The Crush coming soon.
Oh, yeah. What a great movie.
This review is from a coward named Anonymous. gives it 5 stars. I watched this as a kid and I remember loving the shit out of it. 6 stars.
Can't even math, right? Well, my next review comes right below yours from Jamie L., which I can only assume means Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jamie Lannister from Game of Thrones.
No, that's a character, not a person. I will admit...
Yeah, that's always stopped us in the past. That's a line we never cross.
I will admit that the cheesy over-the-top acting dialogue and quote-unquote fighting could be amusing at times, but I am not one for the so bad it's good thing. This movie is just bad, has enough unintentional laughs to not be completely unwatchable. 2 stars.
By the way, Jamie L., I'm not one for the so bad it's good thing, so never a podcast guest then.
Never, ever.
This person is mean. Waleed A. gave half a star, and they said, a joke. One of the worst movies ever made. Another movie that makes me feel blessed to get experience what good movies really are. Watching it as a joke. This was entertaining and hilarious, filled with almost constant things you can make fun of. The acting is absurd. The actors were all horrible choices. Some of my favorite characters from the game were played by someone so lame. Vega, SMH. I think every single casting decision was horrendous. Van Damme was a U.S. soldier who can't speak English. LMAO. Wow, racist. But the tattoo of the American flag proves that he's American. The fighting was disgustingly awful. So funny. 2 viewings.
Wait, they specified that they watched it twice at the end?
Yes.
Oh, God. This review confuses me. From Kaya E. And she says, 2 great cheesy movies. Their production values are high and plots are good. This movies have good art and are loyal to their respective game series mythos. They are definitely worth it if you like good cheesy action flicks. Definitely both work as stoner movies. 4 stars.
Well, they're not wrong about the stoner movies.
Do you think that she possibly got like a dual pack, one with Street Fighter and on the other disc was Mortal Kombat?
I feel like that might have been what happened, but she couldn't find like the Rotten Tomatoes entry for the combo packs. She was like, people will know.
Yeah.
People go to Jumbo Video all the time. They'll be all right.
Jumbo Video or Ambassador Video. I mean, or Major Video. I mean, those are all. So my one here is from Abdullah M.
I was going to pick that one.
I'm assuming he's the butcher. I'm going to read it exactly. I feel as how he intended. I really like this movie. Don't know why they say this is bad. 5 stars.
And then he takes out a fork and stabs anyone who says anything different. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, this one's from Lauren L. And
Lauren Lapkus.
Yeah, they wrote, poor Raul Julia. This was so unfortunate for him. 1/2 star. This was his dying wish to his children. So awful.
By the way, he's definitely in strong contention for the I'm Saving That, Trying to Save This Thing award.
Yes, absolutely.
He's the only saving grace.
He really, really is. Okay, my last one here is from Thomas K. And he says, if you play, this is exactly how it's written, if you played the sum of the first Street Fighter games, then you'll like it. Don't bother rating it otherwise, you morons. 5 stars.
Fantastic. Let's see what I got here. I've got one from Anastasia.
which I assume is the cartoon character Anastasia from the cartoon film Anastasia.
Yes, starring Anastasia.
Right. Too much characters. Bracket 3, own VHS, question mark, 4 stars.
What?
What does that even mean?
I think they had an attack at the end of that review.
Okay, Jan S.
Jan Steiner.
4 stars. Trashy, but quite fun. Just switch your brain off.
Thanks, Jan. Well, that was those are the reviews. That was Street Fighter. So thanks, Lindsay, for joining us for this episode.
You're welcome.
I thought you were just going to do the thumbs up, which would have been great for an audio podcast.
They can't hear a thing.
Yeah, no, nothing at all. Joke's on you. It's all going up on Patreon. What? But yeah, thanks for joining us. And Nathan, we should hint, first of all, what's coming up next week. So give us a hint, Ski, as to what you've got in the works for us next week.
I hope everyone is ready.
Okay.
For the way of the exploding gut.
Okay. All right. We go. And now, before we start plugging away, is Montrose Monkington in the room?
Isn't it? Technically not.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'll get him. Just a second. Hold on.
All right.
Hello! It's your good friend Montrose here. I'm nude, as you can see, if you are viewing this. If you're not, you're just listening to me as I am naked. I would like to invite all of you to come to my YouTube channel, Montrose Monkington TV. You can also be friends with me on Facebook at the Facebook group Montrose Monkington III Esquire and Friends. And you can also tweet it to me on your Twitter box. That's at Montrose III. That's the number 3RD. Don't be too upset if I don't get back right away, as I do not have opposable thumbs. Thank you. More later.
Montrose, you're looking svelte as always.
Yes, I've been doing this new waxing routine, as you can see. It's working out quite well. I got rather nice pink hue to myself going on here.
Nathan, get that monkey a towel.
Okay. I suppose I should cover up, be modest and whatnot. I am British. No sex. Thank you. I am British. Thank you. More later.
Wow. That was a strange appearance there.
Well, yeah. You never know what you're going to get with Montrose. It's like a Steve and Izzy episode every time.
Didn't know I was going to see Montrose as Monkington.
Right?
It's impressive. I'm not going to lie.
The third.
Yeah, the third. Now I know why he names it after the OG. Yeah, so find us and stuff. You can find us on all the platforms.
Solid promoting there.
Thanks. It's been a long day. You can find us on all the platforms. We're all over the place. Just search for us on your favorite podcast app. We're also on our home base at wwttpodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Redbubble, TeePublic. Find us on Patreon. You can be cool like Lindsay and be a patron. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search for What Were They Thinking. We have a Facebook group, What Were They Thinking Interactive. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at wwttpodcast. Lindsay, do you have anything you'd like to mention? Anything, any promotions? Any particular type of pizza you enjoy?
I like barbecue chicken pizza.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Tasty. And pineapples. Pineapples and pizza.
Nice.
I'll be the outlier. Can't do
solid,
it.
Solid work.
No, you have to.
I can't. Wait, what? You can't force me to do this.
I could.
Oh, I mean, I guess. You're not my manager anymore.
See, that's how I feel about that.
Did you just send us a heart?
No, I don't know what I...
Pineapple on pizza.
What is going on here? Am I touching my keyboard?
It's Nathan.
No, okay.
Sending us emojis, which no one listening to the podcast can see. This is solely just to annoy everyone else. Oh, my God. But again, Lindsay, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
But Nathan,
remember when you do Avatar, the Last Airbender.
By the way, spoiler alert, that is coming at some point before this year comes to an end.
Oh, good to know.
Nathan,
yeah?
Do you have any questions about Street Fighter?
I could probably muster up a few. So with a movie that's going to cost, you know, $20 million. Mm-hmm. And that has a very well-established
you know, I guess history, or legends, if you will, not of Chun-Li, but where your characters have backstories that are well established, with character traits that a lot of the fans of the games are very, very attached to, and you decide to get a Hawaiian to play a Japanese man, a fellow from Brooklyn to play a Jamaican, some guy from the Midwest to be a Russian, and
what about the native guy?
The white guy to be the native guy, an Australian to be a British. Why, oh why, you go ahead and you get a French guy to be the all-American Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And you waste all of this on the last role of Raul Julia.
Sounds good so far.
I really need to know.
Yeah?
What were they thinking?
Let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones, too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh, yeah. Bana, 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 everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes and gratuitous boobies, it's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy
at eilfm.podbean.com.